suppose it is that time where we might say if they stop the season now, Borough will be safe.
That lass on Radio 4 who's stood up for Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Specifically, the audio podcast companion to issue 604, a Swansea City game in which it looks as though Robbie and Jonathan Woodgate are probably doing some synchronised dancing on the front cover, it has to be said. You know, I get the feeling it's like a dance routine there, Rob. They're pointing there, kick the ball. It's like some sort of crazy diversity dance-off system, which is just great stuff there. But phew, relax, unwind, 1-0 against Charlton. Suddenly, we're back in safety again.
It was amazing how far up the table we left, wasn't it, from that one result. And if ever there was a six-pointer, then that was it, because it really pushed Charlton into the mess. And, of course, they've got real problems off the field as well. Mm-hmm. So, it was a massive relief to finally get a win the first time since, what, New Year's Day?
41 points now from 37 games. Happily just above on goal difference, Wigan and Hull in 19th position and just a point behind Huddersfield in 18th. And Stoke in 17th, also on 42 points. So it's tight, shall we say. Hence the reason, maybe the coronavirus thing, if we just shut the thing down now, we'll stop it now, all's well with the world.
Well, we're joking about this, but as we speak...
We don't know. Will it happen tomorrow?
We don't know.
I mean, this is the critical thing, of course, because recent breaking news when we're recording this, and you may have heard from the quality of the words from both Rob and myself, although neither of us has tested positive, we have self-isolated, because we care about the listener. We don't want to run any risks whatsoever.
Absolutely.
So we're actually doing this split apart by 126 miles. Working that process through. Chelsea, Everton, Mikel Arteta, head coach for Arsenal, is out from the whole thing. I hesitate to use this because it's one of those things which journalistic cliches would say, don't use that term, but maybe it is unprecedented.
Absolutely. They're saying that, you know, that it could be cancelling all the fixtures for the first time since wartime. If you go back to First World War, they didn't actually stop playing football for quite some time until the football clubs became used as sort of rallying for pals regiments, didn't they?
Yep. So, yes, it is
unprecedented, because I guess the one thing to weigh up is if they stop tomorrow or they go behind closed doors, that could last for the rest of the season. Or there's no sign yet, from what we heard yesterday, that this might not peak until for 2 months. So that's a long time, isn't it?
And the danger, of course, being it's all very well saying, well, you go behind closed doors, but if you're then actually driving people into even more virus-friendly environments like pubs, clubs and various other things to actually watch the games in between behind closed doors, that's not going to help at all.
Well, I can tell you, Alex, because I know from some of the plans that were discussed at the start of the week that is not going to happen. There will not be. I don't think there will be live football in if that scenario presents itself. There will not be live football in pubs and stuff. Which, again, it's people's lives, but people's livelihoods, and we could see a lot of football league clubs in serious trouble over this, and then I've just mentioned bars and pubs, and there's an awful lot of things to weigh up, and it could be, you know, it's going to be devastating in one way or another, isn't it?
Now, clearly, we look at Italy. Initially, you go back and say, well, actually, in Wuhan now, they seem to be slowing down in terms of numbers of cases, etc. Of course, that's that we know about. In terms of what's happening in Italy, they've gone into complete lockdown. Clearly, they've abandoned all public gatherings and so on. Here, in terms of our current situation, as we speak at this moment, Friday the 13th of March 2020, in case you want to isolate the time lock and timestamp the program. programme. Yeah. We're in this scenario of saying, well, OK, it may happen. I mean, they're talking about postponing Euro 2020. Yes. That's one thing which we'll move back from that point of view. And there is that sense that, as you rightly said, Rob, there are a lot of kind of challenges that are being faced within that. I mean, do you feel that actually it would be advisable to have a suspension of play? Because, you know, it's all very well Premiership, sort of, I mean, postponing games from that perspective. But, you know, Borough versus Swansea, yes, it is a critical game, but fundamentally, is it worth the risk that is going to carry with it all the other sort of elements that obviously this unknown challenge is facing?
Well, the fact that we're having this discussion a few hours after after the Prime Minister's address yesterday, so things have moved on so quickly since then, because that seemed to settle things, although not in Scotland, where
and let's face it, are we surprised? Are you settled by our Prime Minister? I'm sorry, I'm not going to get political, but really, it's a bit like Donald Trump and his kind of, we ain't got any problems at all, as long as you're not from Europe. If you're from the UK, you're okay, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I know from my brother who lives in Hong Kong that for quite some time there, they've been extremely strict. Every case is reported and no one goes anywhere near those areas. The schools have been off for a long time now. The football season was cancelled for a month. I'm not sure whether the plans are, whether that's about to start up again or not. But people do not watch their football in anything like the numbers over here, of course. Mm. But it's a big, but at the same time, it's an incredibly packed, densely packed city, and they are starting to see signs of recovery, to the extent that some of the schools have started to go back at least part time. But yeah, it's a ripple effect around the world, isn't it? So it's very, very, very difficult indeed, isn't it? And we have to use that word unprecedented, and it's shocking. But we suddenly realise, all of us, apart from maybe Donald Trump, that we are part of the same world, and that we, you know, for better and for worse, we are all in it together.
Let's talk some positivity now, and we'll actually sort of move away from that, and we'll also go to football. But one thing I think we forgot to mention in our previous podcast was a congratulations for Middlesbrough actually winning one of the inaugural community awards of the EFL, together with Wigan Athletic, Derby County, Crawley Town, Cardiff City and Charlton. They actually won, they were honoured basically as regional winners of the Community Club of the Year.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. I was invited out to the EFL Day of Action on Tuesday, which would have been a showcase for the foundation working in a school in Middlesbrough, but as it would have been, because it was that very day when players were not allowed to go out. But I still went anyway. I was the only reporter there, and I was able to see some of the work that they do. And there was a guy there called Dan, and he does a program called Stepping Up, where they work for kids in primary schools for several months to get them prepared to go to senior schools, and then they become a friendly face in that senior school, somewhere that people can go, the young pupils can go to, and that lasts for quite some time until they're totally settled. Because I think we can remember ourselves that it's a big jump, isn't it, between the two schools, and nowadays you could be going to a totally different neighbourhood. And all that. So that's one of the instances, one of the examples, of some of the work they do. And early in the season, we covered, didn't we, about them opening a satellite in Loftus, working in East Cleveland. Mm. And that's been phenomenally well received, working with all parts of the community, doing all sorts of good work there. And one thing that was brought home to me in the school that I went to at the UCA in East Middlesbrough was, for kids, there is very little to do after school now. The youth service and all those sort of activities, there's so little of it. So it's so what the foundation does is also absolutely essential from that point of view.
And it's kind of going back historically to the days pre-Spanish flu in the last century, where actually at the end of certainly the 19th century, clubs like Everton and Myonopolis and a whole range of things were actually set up specifically with a view to actually provide a sporting activity for people to actually engage with, and young people in particular, in their free time and so on.
Muscular Christianity was
exactly.
one of the terms.
Exactly.
Yeah, because a lot of the clubs, like Everton now with the church in the corner of the ground, they actually sprung out of those churches, didn't they? That was one of the sources of football.
So maybe we haven't actually changed too much in terms of differences such as health and well-being, education, diversity and inclusion, which were the challenges, or at least the categories that were being selected for Club of the Year. We're delighted Middlesbrough actually won the regional routine. I think a nod to Charlton Athletic. Well, at least they've won something this season. Portsmouth and Cambridge United, who actually won the Community Project of the Year awards. So interesting things there. And I think all three clubs have had their challenges, really.
Yes, definitely. That's very true indeed.
Okay, after the break, we're going to talk more about the footballing side of matters, because obviously it was looking a wee bit bleak before the Charlton Athletic result, and challenging in a number of sort of ways. So we'll chat about that. We'll look ahead, possibly, in terms of some thoughts, in terms of where we're going, etc., and have a whole range of other bits and pieces. And Rob, as you've got probably some of the contributors for the current edition of Fly Me to the Moon up there, then maybe we might actually have some news and info about what people can expect. Of course, that's the other thing. Worst case scenario, should the game not go ahead tomorrow, will issue 604 become such a prize collector's edition? It could be the one that was produced without necessarily being at a game. Wow, that's got to be that. I mean, that's like a mint condition. That could actually be, you know, your pension plan set up for life on that basis.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yes.
Always a silver lining.
Hey, yes, celebrate always. And rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245 grams of magnesium, 300
grams of zinc. Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon and a tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Oh, superb, you see. It's like magic, you know, one planet, it's, you know, from one side to the other. Brilliant. A little bit of sympathy for Phil Neville. He's not doing a great job with respect to England and another defeat in the She Believes Cup, etc. But still, what the hey. And to think they played so well at the Riverside back in the day. Okay.
Well, they lost that, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's a way forward. When we last spoke with Flying to the Moon, I think we were, obviously, it was Borough Nottingham Forest. And we thought, yeah, okay, fine, you know, disappointing. We couldn't sort of hold on to the lead, but it's a point, etc. And then, of course, it was the Yorkshire Derby. I know people in Leeds and Barnsley might sort of turn around and say, you're not Yorkshire. Well, we are. Or Teesiders, etc. And two goals, two games, two defeats. Frustrating.
Yeah, I think really the big damage was done where we were hauled under the waterline, if you like, was the draw against Wigan when they were down to 10 men and the defeats to Luton at home and Barnsley away. I know we've talked about them before, but they were the really damaging games because they were, just as in Charlton, they were six-pointers, weren't they? But I think on a positive, everybody seems to go on a run in this division, and you just wonder if Wigan and Barnsley are about to stop their runs. And because they were so far down, those points, I always look at it that way, those points are lost for good, and they have to continue they've got to continue to win far more than those around them. We've got the Stoke City game coming up, hopefully, next week. So, again, we can do what we did at Charlton and push somebody else down again and have a leg up ourselves.
It's another mini league again, assuming matches go ahead.
And I know.
That is a huge assumption in this particular case. But home to Swansea, away to Stoke City, away to Hull City, and then home to Queen's Park Rangers. So you've got that kind of clutch of clubs that are actually there, a bit like a coronavirus.
And Chris Barley maybe sums it up because his article is "Help." The 9-game nail-biting, noose-tightening, nerve-shredding run-in.
Oh, Chris, it's good to see that you can still use alliteration these days. It's wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, indeed so. And I think that those sort of areas, you know, these are games which I suppose at one stage of the season, like New Year's Day, we would have said, fine, it'll help us, give us some propulsion to the playoff zone, etc.
That's right.
Now, of course, there's a sensitivity that we don't want literally the Charlton game to have been a flash in the pan.
No, that's right.
I mean, Swansea are currently in 11th position. I think fairly safe with 53 points. They're not likely to be dragged into the relegation system. I mean, unless things go drastically wrong.
No, they're not that far out of the playoff zone.
Yeah, exactly.
The challenges for Swansea will be next season when the parachute payments have ended. Yeah, that's going to be their challenge.
Currently sort of 3 points adrift of sixth position. That, of course, is Preston. And then, of course, Nottingham Forest, Brentford, Fulham and West Brom and Leeds, who, again, seem to have arrested their decline. And I think it's fair to say that the likelihood is that the top two places will go to Leeds and West Brom. In whichever order they sort of settle for from that point of view.
Yeah.
Ultimately, much as it's quite nice to have a kind of academic interest in that, from Borough's point of view, it is lots of things to play for, but it is critical that if we allow for the fact that two out of the current three, Luton, Barnsley and Charlton, will probably go, then you're looking for that third sort of group coming from, conceivably, up to as far as Reading and Sheffield Wednesday, who have 48 points, 14th and 15th position. Sheffield Wednesday seems to be going into free fall as well, actually, these days. But
I'd remember also Sheffield Wednesday have got that charge looming over them as well. For, you know, so will they be docked points?
No points deduction for Birmingham City, of course, so they will sit on 47. And then, I say, that clutch starting with Stoke City on 42, Huddersfield on 42, Borough on 41, Wigan on 41, Hull on 41. It was a former manager.
And Hull are really dropping, aren't they?
Yeah.
And we play Hull, as you said, in one of those next games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just singling them out because I think they're in danger.
Mm. Yeah, well, again, I think the manager issues, and I think Grant McCann is having sort of one or two areas from that line of things. We'll just have to see what actually happens and develops from that. Do you feel optimistic, Rob? I mean, do you think that it is a case, or is it more a case of, well, what better way to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Flying to the Moon than actually ending up where it all began in the third tier of English football? No, that's not the way.
No, I do. I think it made a world of difference, actually, winning that game. I think that the draw that we did against Nottingham Forest in the midweek draw, although we once again didn't manage a game and we allowed a goal to go in very late on, I still felt that we played a lot better, and there was around the crowd there was a little bit of belief grew from that game. And that needed to be followed up by a win. And just as you said, it needs to be followed up by another win. Because in this week's issue, even Stanis Stan, the eternal optimist, is trying to keep the faith.
Wow.
Keep the faith. He is wrestling with the whole situation. Yeah. And over the years how super optimistic he's always been.
Well, you'd have to be, having spent several tours of duty in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But there we are. A whole new perspective on that. We talked about one, Stan. What about Stepanovic? What about the goalkeeper? Because I think it's fair to say here, some good saves, actually, and maybe Ainsley Pears taking some time out to sort of acclimatise various other bits and pieces. Maybe Stepanovic is going to prove to be quite a useful addition.
I know that when he was signed, that they definitely said that he was they were really, really chuffed with clinching his signature. Thought he was had tremendous potential. But I suppose when I said potential, a little bit further along experience-wise than Ainsley Pears. So yes, he did look calm at Charlton, and also his distribution was just as good as Ainsley Pears. So which he stands out in that way. So yeah, very interesting. A brave decision, really, to change a keeper at that point. But Ainsley had kind of been mugged at home to Forest for that final goal, which perhaps underlined the inexperience issue. But be interesting, won't it? He did look secure.
Which is great stuff. Listen, let's turn the clock back a little bit, because I just noted we'd be remiss, actually, even though there are obviously literary festivals and various other things coming up, to not mention that a new Memories of Mannion book celebrating, of course, Wilf Mannion, football's golden boy, has actually just been published. Again, if people are interested in following that through, Wilf, of course, he does have a statue outside the riverside, does he not? Exactly. So it might be well worth considering sort of aspects from that side of things. And what about Jed Spence? He says, jumping around a little bit more. Do you think he's been rested now? Does he sort of show that actually coming back on, he's got some quality?
I can see Jed Spence coming back into the team. I noticed when he came on later on against Charlton, I saw Woodgate jumping up and down a couple of times because he showed his inexperience when we were trying to manage the game late on by giving the ball away quite sloppily and not covering back. And I suppose that's the areas that he needs to work on, and they're really important. But I could see that, particularly if Coulson is unfit, and he's apparently struggling for the weekend, I could see possibly Jed Spence being used as... at the moment, he's a late substitute, an impact sub, but I think I would have thought we might see him starting games again. But also, the other good plus, not just Spence, but that Patrick Roberts is back training again and could be ready to play. And he made a tremendous impact.
Mm.
Manchester City loan, of course.
And, absolutely.
And two home games in a row, he was fouled in the box for a penalty. So that's good. We see a few more of those. And Paddy McNair, now that he seems to have returned to form again, because he put that away so well against at Charlton, he would be the man to take the penalties. So, that it could all... Paddy McNair was the start of the season and a key force driving the midfield. And if he's sort of found his form again at the right time, then I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, very much so. And Dale Fry, I see, as well, is also getting back to peak fitness. So.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And Ayala's not that far behind, but they're not rushing him. So we suddenly got more options at the back. And, of course, we've got the options at the front. And we should also say about Rudy Gestede has played really well in the last couple of games.
I was going to hesitate on that, but let's face it, Gestede has had a lot to do to win an awful lot of people over. Yeah. I think the line of some of these he's put up there is always addressed that. Breaking news for the point of view of various other things. I see that all UEFA competitions, that's all UEFA competitions, including Champions League and Europa League matches, have been postponed because of the coronavirus matches. So all of them have actually been postponed. Interested to see what happens with respect to this country, presumably.
Yes, that's quite a stunning thing, isn't it? I think we'll see next week that the European Championships will be postponed until next year.
Yeah.
It's a complete nightmare, the fact that it's spread across the whole of Europe as well, isn't it? Which makes it, I can't see how that can go ahead. So that'll be a massive disappointment for an awful lot of people who have got tickets, because they'll be, you know, with it being spread across Europe, there'll be incredible amounts of hotels booked up and flights booked up, and be big ramifications for that. But I guess that will allow a lot of countries to think about their seasons going into the summer months.
And of course, a different sort of area, but of course the Tokyo Olympics, I would have thought, would probably be being seriously considered in terms of whether that's feasible. But that's
it's true. Right. It's maybe as much with all the people coming into that country, perhaps.
You don't want to start it all over again just as they sort of start clearing out. Oh, no. How can people get hold of the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the official podcast, podcast we've just been playing it, the issue 604 Swansea City edition?
Yes, if you go to, I've got a couple of message boards at the moment, Alex, and if you go to fmttm.com and click on fanzine shop, then I will have it on sale later today. And I will also put all the details on the other message board, which is fmttmborough.com. Obviously, as we just said, if the match doesn't go ahead, then that'll be the only place that you can buy it now, with Karim's shop no longer being around.
So there we are. It could be, I mean, you must be tempted, Rob, to actually sort of just keep a supply back that you can release, you know, teasing wise. There are absolute classics on that point of view. And we haven't had a chance to actually look at the poetry. What we will do, and promise people that we'll do, is whatever happens in terms of the match state of play, we will be back with Flowering to Them in the podcast, and we'll be doing those poetry readings and various other excerpts, in addition to Stanistan and Chris Bartley, who we gave honourable mentions to today. I'm going to say 3-0 tomorrow. You know, I'm going to be really bold and say it's going to be Peterborough 3, Swansea 0, assuming it goes ahead, because that's the assumption. Assuming it goes ahead.
Absolutely. If it goes ahead, then it would be brilliant if we could actually win by more than one clear goal.
Yeah.
It would be, as Chris Bartley said, that all those nail biters. And yes, I'd like to think it would be 2-0 to Borough.
Yeah. Well, there we have it then. It has been Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to issue 604. We've wrapped up another 28 minutes of goodness, and of course a little plug for Red Army Radio and Lions from that point of view. You know, I was actually just looking at Jimmy Flynn's ode to Frank Cadrew, which we never really looked at in the Blackburn Rovers edition that we actually did from that point of view. Frank Cadrew, French Frank, Gaelic footballer of the highest rank, blessed with seemingly inexhaustible levels of fuel in his tank, signed initially from RC Lens on loan, he made the Borough left fullback position his own. It's like a classic, really, isn't it? Really, I don't know how we missed that, actually. So apologies to Jimmy Flynn for missing that. But yeah, Frank Cadrew, it's very, very interesting times. Think that, and of course the other symmetry. What am I saying? Nice little symmetry that just as Borough start managing to secure survival status, suddenly start slipping in their attempts to gain promotion. Oh well, never mind. It's just one of those sort of things, really. We just, because I mean, that was in a sense the nightmare scenario: the Borough drop and suddenly get promoted. I mean, that's just. You know.
Yes, that's right. Doing a swap.
Inconceivable. Yeah. Right. Okay. Final seven words that we need to wrap up with: a one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Crowded world. It's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes. You need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands. with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that. Huh?
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.